Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And to help sort all of that out, we are pleased to welcome Ona Hathaway in, professor of international law and counselor to the dean at the University of Yale University, rather, Law School. Good morning, professor. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Glad to be with you.
I appreciate your time. I really do. What are the constitutional backdrop on this before we get to 1973, I think it is, and the War Powers Resolution?
Yeah, the Constitution makes it very clear that it allocates the powers for making war across the branches. So while the president is famously the commander-in-chief, it's actually Congress that has the power to declare war. So the president can direct the troops and can determine how to fight the war, but it's really supposed to be Congress that makes the decision about whether to go to war.
I'm confused. Only two branches, or does the Supreme Court have a voice in this too? No.
Well, the courts can weigh in if there's a legal challenge between the branches. The truth is, though, that they have tended to not get involved. I mean, every once in a while they do sort of adjudicate a dispute between the two branches. In general, though, the courts are kind of leery about getting involved. They use what's called a political question doctrine. They say, look, this is really a political issue. You two branches should sort this out. The other doctrine they use is what's called standing. They basically say a single member of Congress doesn't really have the right to challenge this. He should do what he can in Congress and not come to the courts to try and solve his problem. So in general, the courts don't tend to get very involved.
So historically, prior to 1973, what was the procedure or process as it related to one our country attacking another or individuals in that country?
Yeah, so what the president would have to do is, if he wanted to make war, he would have to go to Congress and say, I want to wage war, here are the reasons, and please give me authority to wage this war, either through a statute or through a declaration of war. So in World War II, of course, we did not go to war until we had a declaration of war against Japan and against Germany and the other countries that were involved in the war. So, and those were, of course, passed by Congress. So presidents were, generally speaking, quite good about going to Congress. There were certainly exceptions, but generally speaking, presidents didn't wage significant wars without going to Congress first.
Which brings us to 1973 and President Nixon and Vietnam, and we'll pick it up here when we come back. And also we have to get to the killing, assassination, whatever word you want to use, of the general, the Iranian general in Iraq. And really, I think it goes to, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the definition of war, because now war is not what it used to be, because we're kind of fighting an ideology and not a nation per se. 8:20 more when we return. Time now, traffic on WWL. 8:24, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about the War Powers Act and what's going on with the president, the Congress, and Iran. I guess it also happened with President Obama and Iraq, and even perhaps, I guess, Osama bin Laden, or at least President Bush going into Afghanistan and then Iraq. Una Hathaway is our guest, professor of international law and counselor to the dean at the Yale University Law School. And we only have about 6 minutes, and I want to get as much of your expertise as I can. So it's 1973, President Nixon, I don't know if we're at war with Vietnam or not, and Congress decides to create this War Powers Resolution?
Yeah, that's right. And what really spurred it was a discovery that Nixon had engaged in a secret bombing campaign in Cambodia that he hadn't bothered to inform either the American people or Congress about. And when Congress discovered that, it realized it was time to do something. And so it passed the War Powers Resolution, which is a law that basically reasserts its constitutional role in war powers and making war. And it requires the president, whenever he's going to involve U.S. armed forces in hostilities, to notify Congress and then to get its permission. If it doesn't get the permission of Congress, then he has to withdraw troops from hostilities no later than 60 days. So this was set up a kind of process for kind of reinforcing the constitutional role of Congress so that the president couldn't engage in secret wars and just not let Congress know what was going on.
All right, so let's move up to President Bush and Afghanistan and then Iraq, President Obama and now President Trump. Were they all in compliance with the War Resolution Act? Was there some kind of differentiation between, as I went to the break, what's war and what's not? Explain all of that, Professor, if you will.
Yeah, so what when after the 9/11 attack, President Bush did go to Congress to seek authority to respond, and he got a law from Congress, what's called the 2001 Authorization for Use of Military Force, that allowed him to respond against those who carried out the 9/11 attacks and those who harbored them. And that was the legal basis as a matter of domestic law for going into Afghanistan and for the effort to root out Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, and affiliated groups. Now, it's been interpreted over the years since increasingly broadly, and there's definitely people who have criticized that, including me. But it has always been the case that there has been an effort to make an argument that the military operations that are being carried out, the counterterrorism operations, are justified under that law. So if it is the case that the 2001 authorization for use of military force is a legal basis for using force against, say, Al-Qaeda, the Khorasan group, ISIS, then that is Congress having given its authority. So Congress doesn't have to do it again. What's troubling here is that there's no suggestion that there is any law from Congress allowing the president to go to war. He hasn't sought or consulted with Congress to seek authority from Congress to use military action against Iran. And there's no claim that operations against Iran falls within existing statutory authority. So he's really out on a limb here.
In the fight against terrorism, there are times where, as I understand it, Professor, you know, we got a chance to get this guy. He's in this position where we can get this, kill this guy that is a terrorist. We've been trying to get him for a long time, and he's now clear of civilians. There's no time to authorize Congress in that situation, would there be?
Well, so here, that doesn't seem to have been the case. You know, so we need to know more, of course. But Soleimani is a government official. He's not some guy hiding in a cave in, you know, the outer reaches of Afghanistan. This is a guy who travels in government convoys and who has, you know, lists of his government activities. He's not that hard to find. And it hasn't been that he's been hard to find. There's been the reason that prior presidents haven't killed him. It's because they knew both they didn't have the legal basis for doing that, and it was going to unleash a response from Iran that would probably be a lot worse than anything that was going to happen otherwise. So it's not, this is not like bin Laden, who when we finally tracked him down, we had to be worried he was going to escape. You know, Soleimani, he's not that hard to find. So it wasn't like this is our one chance. Now, the only question is whether he was in the midst of planning some immediate attack and getting him would have derailed that attack. But they haven't shown us any evidence that that's the case. There hasn't been anything from the government explaining that there was some imminent attack that killing Soleimani derailed. And, you know, that's what they would have to show.
Thank you, Professor. I appreciate your time. Hope we get to talk to you again. Una Hathaway, Professor of International Law and Counselor to the Dean of the Yale University Law School. We'll discuss this when we come back, 260-1870. I think the president did the right thing. You may not. You can text me about it at 87870. Right now, we will pause for WWL First News. Oh, we're going to be live on Facebook right now, as a matter of fact. Here, WWL First News, Dave Cohen.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.